Maybe you can hear me a little better now. I think with the cooler temperatures and that wind outside, it's going to be a good afternoon for a nap, isn't it, Loy? Last week, we began our study with some lessons from Galatians. Last week, we talked about not living for the approval of others. And I hope you got something out of that class. Today, we are moving on into Galatians chapter 2. And the announced topic of today's class is you are not defined by your past. And I don't know if you've taken any time this past week to think about that. But once again, I have some questions that I want to ask. And like I said last week, these classes are kind of geared toward self or toward introspection. In other words, looking at ourselves and asking these questions, getting serious about our theology and where we are at mentally as we approach life. So today we're going to be talking about not being defined by our past. So as we begin, of course, I'm going to ask you some questions. Actually, you don't have to be specific with anything. Some of them I really don't want you to be. But the first question I have for you this morning is, how many of you have ever done things you are ashamed of? No, you don't have to. Ashamed to even answer the question. Was that? Yeah. We've all done things that we're ashamed of in our lives, don't we? But just by saying things that we have done, that puts those things in our past, doesn't it? Just keep that in mind as we move along. Some of you ringtail tutors may even have a reputation because of those things, right? I mean, maybe not you, but maybe you can think of someone that has a reputation because of those things that they've done in their past, and maybe they are now ashamed of them. Here's a good question, and we need to really think about this, and you can speak out about this, and if you want. Can we change the things we have done in the past? What's done is done. We may be able to go back and put patches on some of the things we have done, can't we? We can go back and apologize or try to make good on some of the things where we have failed in the past, some of the things we are ashamed of. Anybody got any comments on that question? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They will remember that too. I'm sure we've all heard this example, and I don't even know if I'm going to be telling it correctly, but saying things about other people is like, saying things about some other people and then being sorry for it is like going to their doorstep and dumping out a bag of flour on their doorstep. And then the wind comes along, and then you become sorry for what you've said. Well, you can gather up all the flour that you can, but some of it's gone. Okay. And that's, I've heard that used as a picture of us saying things that we shouldn't have said. Right. And we're going to talk about that very thing today. Let's if you have your Bibles open, not being defined by our past. This is, we're looking in Galatians chapter 2 this morning in verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we come to Christ, things change, don't they? And you've all, well, let's go ahead and look in Romans chapter 6. I wanted to read this because it's talking about the same thing, puts it a little bit different way. Well, then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So I like the way Romans puts this because it describes the way that we are joined to Christ. We're with him in death. We're with him in his resurrection. It explains that. And it also explains there in verse 4 that now we also may live new lives. So what's the difference between how we lived before we became Christians and how we live when we become Christians? What's the difference? What's that? Okay, Christ causes the difference. One is an old man and one is a new man, according to the scripture. Your old self and your new self. What were you saying, Viva? Okay, the spirit is part of that. According to Romans 6, we're no longer slaves to sin. Right? And we're going to talk more about that next week. There's just so many things that change. Our attitude should change. The way we treat others should change. The motivation for the things that we do should change, right? We talked a little bit about that last week. So let's look back in Romans 6. I wrote the question out, what is this new life all about? And let's look at 12 through 14. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You're going to hear this passage again next week. But he says this new person that we become when we come to Christ, this new person's attitude or motivation is to please God in what we do and not please ourselves. Do we see an abundance of narcissism in our society today? People who live just for themselves. You know, that goes from, you know, you see these, they're kind of comical to me because I don't take part in them. And Black Friday, you ever see any fist fights break out on the news because people wanting this for themselves? You know, what about road rage? You know, that's happened, I think, because of narcissism. Because we only think about ourselves. And so those types of things, when we become Christians, need to go away. Because now we should focus our life on pleasing God and glorifying His name. Here's another, this is not a question, but it is a thing to think about. When we dwell on the way we used to be, it holds us back. When we dwell on the way we used to be, it holds us back. Is that a true statement or not? Yeah, I was going to say it's not just when you first become a Christian. I struggle with that. I'm sure some of you do. We're going to look at that specifically in just a minute. There's a reason for that. But what does it do to us when we dwell on the past? When we dwell on the way we used to be? What's that? Okay, yep. It keeps us from... Okay, yep. We know that fact, don't we? Okay, it could be a lack of belief, maybe. Right. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. couple of things real quick. I do like the translation, do not let sin reign. Do not let it be the what's making you do. Don't let it be your master, okay? Because Christ's death, burial, and resurrection gave us freedom from that, okay? Now, if we are, I don't want to say this is always a good thing, but here's one way to look at it. If you suffer with thinking about, like you said, Richard, this morning, you were thinking about the things, some of the things you have done wrong. When we think about those things and we go, oh man, I wish I could just forget that. That is a, and somebody over here said that a while ago, it's a tool of the devil, okay? The reason I'm saying that could be a little bit of a good thing is why, well, not only that, if Satan's working on you, you don't belong to him yet, okay? Satan doesn't even bother with people that already belong to him. He's got them. It's when we try to deal with these things, then Satan's trying to creep in. We know that he's trying to work on us because he's trying to gain us. If he can make us grieve enough about the things we've done and we forget about Christ's payment on the cross for what we've done, he's won. Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what he said there in chapter 6, verse 1, right. You know.
And those who realize and praise God for that, and yet they don't dwell on it, but yet, as Paul kept saying, you know, I know what all.
He had a problem with that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did. It was obvious.
And so, I think we have to be careful.
And yes.
Not just go about saying, oh, I know it's like a great
God.
Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to make light of it, but I think there's a fine line.
We need to be aware of the fact that we are sinful creatures.
Yes. You know?
The next thing I wrote down here, and we've already started touching on it, I said forgiving ourselves isn't always easy. It's not, is it? We may think, boy, if I just hadn't done that, my life would be so much easier right now. Or if I hadn't done that, my brother or my sister wouldn't feel the way they do about me. I mean, we find it really hard sometimes to forgive ourselves. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's see what verse again. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, of course, he's quoting from Jeremiah, where was it, 31? Yeah. Quoting from Jeremiah 31, he says, Let's start in 15. He says, and the Holy Spirit also testifies this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Some of your translations will say, and I will remember their sins no more. Now, it's God's choice whether he remembers or forgets. Because some things in the scripture, I got to looking at this a couple days ago, and there's some things that God says, I will never forget. Okay? But when he's talking about the new covenant, and of course this plan for Christ to come and live and die and be buried and raised from the dead, this was all his plan. And he knew it back when Jeremiah prophesied this, and he said, and I will remember their sins no more. It is impossible for us to forget completely. What's that? Getting easier the older we get. Yeah. Yeah. It's just impossible for us to completely forget, isn't it? We may go years and not think about some of the things that we've done bad or wrong. And then, bam, we remember them and it raises its ugly head again. But it's possible with God, because God is God and we're not. God can forget and remember them no more, never remember our sins again. So we find ourselves thinking about and dwelling on and letting it eat us up about things that God doesn't even remember anymore. We pray for forgiveness for things that we've done in the past, before we became Christians. And God, you know, the Holy Spirit's there translating for us. And Christ is there going, he's one of ours. And God's going, well, what's he talking about? I don't even remember that. Just think about that next time you start dwelling on things that you've done wrong, and you've already asked for forgiveness for that. You ask it again, and God goes, I don't even know what they're talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer it in this country.
Right. Right. Christ. Right. It may come back to haunt us, but we can immediately go, God didn't even remember that. Right. And the really amazing thing is, though, also that we continue to sin, though, but Christ's blood continually washes us. And so that's another thing we need to remind ourselves of. Right. All right, back to Romans 6, 1. I want to look at Paul for a minute. Paul wrote Galatians, and he wrote a lot of what we read in the New Testament. But I think Paul had a really difficult time with what we're talking about this morning. Paul stood there as a young man holding the garments of those that were stoning Stephen. Paul thought he was doing the right thing. As he persecuted the church, as he put people to death, as he threw people in prison, the Christian world at that time were terrified by the thought of Saul. Okay? When Saul came to town, I bet they pretty much stayed indoors. Okay? They, you know, I've never heard a study on that, but I can picture myself, you know, if I became a Christian and I knew that Paul or Saul was out there looking for Christians so that he could throw them in prison because he thought he was doing the right thing. You know, has anybody ever heard how many people he put to death or threw in prison? I don't know that there's any way to know. But, man, this guy, we talked a while ago about having a reputation. Paul had a reputation, didn't he? But when he became a Christian, he went, man, what I would call, he went whole hog into being a Christian, didn't he? Have you ever known anybody like that? I got to tell you about a friend of mine. He's dead, so I can talk about him. I preached his funeral. I've told you about him before, Frank Costanza. Frank, a buddy of mine and myself, we studied with him. Man, we studied with Frank, seems like forever. And he finally became a Christian. And I'm going to tell you the kind of person Frank was. I mean, he was a good guy. Everybody loved Frank, but he was crazy. I mean, wild. He was in the movie Dances with Wolves. You remember the scene where Kevin Costner was riding back and forth with his foot all bloody, riding back and forth just trying to get one of them to shoot him in that field? You remember on the Union side, the guy on the horse riding back and forth? That was Frank. And they were filming in Montana along the Missouri Breaks. And it was back in the days of, well, Dances with Wolves is a pretty old movie now. It was back in the days of just camp out there and film it and get it done, you know. Well, Frank used to drink a little. And Frank saw himself as bigger than life, which in ways he was. One evening after he had had a little to drink, they were talking and bragging about each other, and Frank says, "I bet my horse can dive into the river." And I don't know how many of you have been on the Missouri Breaks, but there's places where it's pretty far ways down to the river. Frank got on his horse and ran that horse off a cliff. And luckily, the water was deep enough. They both survived. But this is the kind of guy Frank was. But Frank loved guns. He loved trapper stuff, and he always had a table at the gun show, any gun show, and the first words out of Frank's mouth, whoever walked up to the table, he goes, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And that's who Frank turned into. I mean, when I think of Paul or Saul, I think of Frank. Maybe some of you have known people like this. Philippians chapter 3, man, I gotta hurry. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul wrote this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ is calling us." Paul said, the only thing that we can do when we're dealing, and I know he was probably dealing with these thoughts as he wrote that in Philippians. He said, the only thing we can do is forget what lies behind and just focus on the goal. He knew what it was like to deal with those things, and I think he struggled with it like we do. Right, right. I've got one other thing, too, but one we won't get to. It's too long. And don't look at the clock on the back wall. It's 2 minutes fast. Okay. I want to ask you this, because I have heard this. How many of you have ever heard someone say, this is how I was raised, I can't change? This is just who I am. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I had a friend one time told me that. And yeah, I go, and I told him, I said, you can change. If Paul can change, you can. Saul was convinced that he was doing the right thing. Convinced. But when he figured out, or when he was shown that he wasn't doing the right thing, he changed completely. Okay, I'm gonna stop there. I just want to put this bug in your ear. And you can think about this. What about Judas? We were going to get to that, but I ran out of time. Think about, we may take a couple of minutes next week when we start class to talk about Judas. Next week, week three, in Lessons from Galatians, we're going to be talking about this. You are no longer a slave. You are now a child of God. We'll talk about that next week.